everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She is the granddaughter of media empire giant William Randolph Hearst, and daughter to Catherine and Randolph Emerson Hearst, the youngest of five boys, who would accept Jesus during his third marriage to a born-again Christian, and at age 85, enter eternity in December of 2000. You may also know of the famous Hearst Castle, nestled on 80,000 acres in San Simeon, and fondly known as, quote, the ranch, to its owners, the late Millicent Hearst and the Hearst Corporation, who donated the castle after the death of W.R. Hearst in 1951, to the state of California in 1953, where millions visit each year. The legacy and history is large, and the drama as well. The sister of my next guest, Patty Hearst, would become infamous in the 70s as a kidnapped victim and later fugitive with the men who abducted her, spend 2 years in prison, and then eventually be released through presidential pardon. But that's not the story you are about to hear today, ladies and gentlemen. A turn of events would lead my next guest to the feet of Jesus, asking for help. And the impact of that decision would forever mark her life for Christ. And everyone who has the pleasure of meeting, founder and CEO of Praise Him Ministries, former actress, entertainer, political and pro-Israel activist, and black belt in karate. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Victoria Hearst. Victoria, welcome to Testimony.
Well, thank you so much, Jensine. And I just want to say about my sister Patty, she was innocent from start to finish. And what happened to her and what the federal courts did to her was really an abomination. So praise God that that Jimmy Carter finally had the heart, and God moved him to get my sister out of prison where she never should have been in the first place.
Thank you, Victoria, for clarifying that, and I only use your sister's name as a point of reference for those who may not know you as well as your sister. But today's story is about you, Victoria, and what Christ has done in your life. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. And if you are not an example of that, Victoria, I don't know who is. So let's get right to it. Would you begin to tell all of us your early beginnings and how you came to faith in Jesus Christ? And then for segment two, I would like to hear more of your story and the incredible work you are doing around the globe. Victoria, please tell us your story.
You know, it's funny. I usually start off my testimony by saying when I got saved, I wasn't down and out. I was up and out. You know, I'm one of the few people who never did drugs, never smoked cigarettes, never drank, wasn't promiscuous, had a couple of you know, boyfriends, and but you know, wasn't a wild woman, and you know, I had, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be in show business, and so I started taking acting and singing and dancing lessons, and that was my aspiration. I also had always wanted to be a black belt. There was a lady detective TV show on in the 60s that really inspired me. The lead, you know, the lead character was a black belt, and it just really got in my heart. So that was that's one of the great great things that I was able to accomplish through a lot of hard work and many bruises. But it was fun. And you know, I moved from the Bay Area to Los Angeles when I was 18, graduated from high school, and you know, that was my goal. And of course, you know, in our family, we all grew up in church. My parents had five girls. We all grew up in, you know, grade school and Catholic school. And, you know, I get very annoyed when I hear some Christians go, well, you know, Catholics aren't Christians. Well, guess what? If you got John 3:16 and you believe the Bible, you're a Christian.
Amen.
So, you know, get over it. But it gave me a great love for Jesus Christ. It gave me a great, you know, knowledge and study of the Bible. But, you know, when I kind of got out of grade school and into eighth grade and what have you, and, you know, I did what a lot of people did, which was you start to kind of drift away and you go to church seldom and you start to believe what the world says. And, you know, I started to believe that, you know, homosexuality was normal and that premarital sex was okay. And, you know, made the mistake of living with a couple of, you know, with a couple of guys and in my career. As a matter of fact, the last one I lived with is how I got saved. I like to tell women that there's nothing like a bad man to drive you to Jesus, and came to the Lord. But, you know, I had everything. I had, you know, the cars and the apartments and the money and the furs and the social life and the travel. And but I made the primary mistake of, and many women do, and it's still being fed even more so to young girls in our society, which is that sex equals love. And sex is a part of love within a marriage, but it is not, as it is too often portrayed, as it's something you do first, and then you see maybe if the relationship will work out.
Right. Now, you say that you were in a, quote, bad relationship. How bad was it? Can you elaborate?
It was very emotionally abusive. And my dad's father was very kind of critical and emotionally abusive to his kids and to his five sons. And as we all know, there are things that get passed down in families, and some things are good and some things are bad. And what Christians, you know, as Christians, we normally refer to as a family curse. And it can be alcoholism or drug addiction or violence or adultery or, you know, emotional abuse. And, you know, in our family, it was, you know, emotional abuse. And it wasn't all the time, but my dad could say some very unpleasant things to his daughters when he was angry and what have you. And so I kind of, you know, the devil is he doesn't play fair and he doesn't take prisoners. And sure enough, I wound up in the few relationships, which is, relationship is such a, it's such a useless word now when you're talking about male-female relationships. It really means in the secular world, you know, you get together, you get physical, and then you kind of see if it works. And if it doesn't, it's sort of like using Kleenex, you know? You blow your nose on it, and then you see, you know, what happens, and then you throw it away. So relationship, as far as, you know, love and intimacy, has really become such an empty, useless word, because hookup would probably be more descriptive than trying to call it a true relationship.
Right.
But my experiences with men had never been particularly good, and then I always managed to find someone who, you know, always wound up being, you know, emotionally, verbally unkind. And the last guy was an actor and a director in 1994. And I thought, aha, you know, this is it. And he was tall and he was handsome and, you know, very sexy. And I thought, ah, this is it. Finally, I've got it. And I just want to tell any women who are listening, if the guy has been divorced twice and has a string of ex-girlfriends, ladies, you ain't special.
Amen.
And I thought, ah, I'm going to be the special one, and, you know, this is going to work out. And, of course, it didn't. And he was, again, he was very verbally critical, emotionally abusive. There were times, you know, the devil can really get hold of your mind. And sometimes we always say, well, why would a woman stay in a relationship or in a marriage where the man is emotionally or verbally abusive or he's physically abusive? Because he's got your mind. The enemy has your mind. It's like being in a cult.
Right.
I always thought that I was very independent and I would never put up with this, and yet I did.
Well, let me ask you a question. Victoria, for our listeners out there. Now, your father, admittedly, was critical, and some would term that as emotional abuse. So as a kid, when you're growing up, you soak things up, whatever, good or bad, like
right.
a sponge. And so whether we want to or not, we translate that into our present being. So do you think that is part of the reason why you were receptive in a way to someone that would do the same?
Yeah, you build up a tolerance. And Dad wasn't unkind all the time, but, you know, he had his moments. And Mom used to say, well, you know, his father treated him like that. And at one point when I finally, you know, was having about enough with the last boyfriend, Bob, I just said, well, you know what, then maybe he needs to go to counseling and get over it. Fortunately, you know, Dad was on his third wife. He'd gotten, of course, divorced from my mother, and was on the third wife, who was a born-again Christian, and he got saved. Thank you, Jesus. So the last 5 years of Dad's life, God restored our relationship. And it was really, that's what I truly looked at as my true father-daughter relationship with, you know, with my dad, was those last 5 years of his life, you know, after he got saved.
Wow. Now, I have so much that I want to cover with you in these two segments. I could talk to you for hours. I can tell this already, and we need a longer show. For our listeners, I just want to say, you're single, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Very talented, a bold witness for Jesus Christ, and seemingly, Victoria, from everything I've read, watched, and listened to, you are making the most of the life God has given you. So quick question, is there a husband in your future? And if there is, what does he look like inside and out for you?
If there's a man in my future, haven't got a clue. After the bad mistakes, you know, the bad decisions that I've made, after the last one where, thank you God, I got saved out of it, I just, you know, I mourned the loss of the bad man. And I was able to really get into the Word of God and forgive, because I had to heal from all of that, and I knew I had to forgive Bob and
right.
pray for him, which I did. He never said he was sorry. I never got a chance to have that conversation with him, but that's not what forgiveness is about, and that's a whole other show. Forgiveness is not about the other person ever saying they're sorry. If they do, that's nice. But
right.
our job is not as Christians to wait until someone says they're sorry before they forgive them. We have to forgive them, and if they never say they're sorry, God does the rest.
Amen.
After that, I would cry. I would say, God, why am I alone? You know, this is tough, and you know, he gave me assignments, and then finally sent me to Israel, et cetera, and then finally in 2001 had me start Praising Ministries. But after a while, I just kind of got over it, and I just said, God, if you've got somebody for me, you send them. But I want the angel Gabriel standing next to him with a big sign saying, this one is safe, love God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Victoria Hurst, founder of PraiseHimMinistries.org. We're going to hear more of Victoria's story next week on Testimony. Victoria, thank you for being with us. I look forward to learning more about you, your ministry, and what our listeners can do to get behind your incredible work all around this globe. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Jen C.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the inspiring true story of the granddaughter of media publishing giant William Randolph Hearst, fondly known as WR, and his Hearst Castle, fondly known as, quote, the Ranch, now visited by millions each year, thanks to the generosity of its owners, the Hearst Corporation and wife Millicent Hearst, who donated the castle to the state of California in 1953, 2 years after the death of W.R. That alone is a feat enough for anyone to rest their laurels. But not this family. The godly as well as controversial legacy that would follow is well documented. The abduction of sister and socialite Patty Hearst by domestic terrorists made world news. What is little known, however, is the newspaper, quote, plug that William Randolph would give to an up-and-coming evangelist that would spark the flames of great revival then and now. That evangelist, the Reverend Billy Graham. The power of the press can be used for good or evil, ladies and gentlemen, and those heading these media groups, whether newspaper, radio, television, the internet, social media, have a responsibility and a call to shape culture for the greater good and not for deeper pockets. With this in mind, would you welcome back to Testimony someone who is reshaping that legacy by forging one of her own for the greater good, for the cause of Christ, Israel, the U.S., and Japan in particular. Founder and CEO of PraiseHimMinistries.org, accomplished actress, dancer, choreographer, and black belt in karate, as well as outspoken advocate for Israel and righteous values in media and politics. Would you welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, Miss Victoria Hearst. Victoria, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thank you for having me again, Janine. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you. I loved our first segment. We ran out of time. There's so much to your story. In your bio, and you alluded to in our first segment, you mentioned a trip to Israel in 1996 that was instrumental in changing the course of your life, and the, quote, Christian mom you would meet and on whose board you now serve. That mom is well-known and respected Dr. Billy Brim, who founded Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Can you share with our listeners how meeting Billy changed your life and helped shape it?
You know, it's funny. The Bible says that God knows our end from our beginning. And as you start to go through your lives and things happen and whatever, and you look at the Word, you start to realize that so many things you thought were your idea were actually God's idea and part of His plan for you. So after I got saved in December of 95 and broke up with the bad boyfriend, as I like to say, ladies, there's nothing like a bad man to drive you to Jesus. And I'm sure there's some men who got saved because of a bad woman. So there. You know, the enemy is so stupid. If the devil would just leave people alone, who'd need to get saved?
Amen, Victoria.
He just had to push me over the edge, and I lost the bad boyfriend and found Jesus. Praise God. So, but when I got saved and I broke up with the boyfriend, I started to go to church in my local Colorado area, and then God told me to go to Israel. It was funny because I was watching Trinity Broadcasting, TBN, and Paul Crouch was talking about a trip to Israel over Thanksgiving. And as I'm watching the TV, the Holy Ghost literally says to me, go. And I went, okay. And I kind of surprised myself because I thought, you know, beforehand, if somebody had said to me, you want to go to Israel, I would have said, no, it's hot, it's dusty, things blow up, I'm not going. And yet, God spoke to me and said, go. And I said, well, I can't go through the Thanksgiving trip there, and this is in 96, because, you know, I'm trying to get my family together. And so then I go and visit my father in California. And he's saved at that point. He got saved around the age of 80. God used his third wife, so we all say God hates divorce, but I guess in Dad's case, he needed the third born-again Christian wife to finally get it.
Right.
He wasn't a bad guy before, but he needed Jesus. So there you go, and God restored our relationship that year, and it was very cool. So I go to visit my father in Northern California, and he has a guest with him, and that guest is Reverend Norval Hayes, who's a famous evangelist in Texas. Really sweet old man.
Right.
So Norval asked me how did I get saved, and I said, you know, this is how, blah, blah, blah. I give him my testimony. And I said, you know, talked about watching TV and God telling me to go to Israel, but I'm trying to get my family together for Thanksgiving, so I'm not going to make it. So Norval said, looks at me and says, well, honey, I'm going with a group in October. Why don't y'all come with us? And, of course, when God brings it up that strongly twice, you're supposed to. So I just went, okay. I didn't know anybody, 150 people on the trip, four buses, knew nobody but Norval, but I knew I was supposed to go. So I go with the group and everything. Well, one of the speakers besides Norval, the other speaker is Dr. Billy Brim. So we get all four buses, we get to the Galilee, and we're checking into this hotel in Tiberias. And this woman walks up to me and says, Veronica? And I said, no, that's my stepmother, I'm Victoria. And she says, well, I'm Billy Brim, and I know your father.
Wow.
Because when Dad got saved, he and his wife had met the Copelands, and he'd gone to Billy's meeting, and long story short, Billy became one of his prayer partners and acquaintances, you know, friends. So God just put us together, Billy and me, in the lobby of the hotel in Tiberias. And we got better acquainted on the trip, and then when I got back, I started to go to Branson from Colorado to her prophetic prayer meetings and things about Israel and this and that, and started to go back to Israel with her, and, you know, that's kind of, then I got hooked up with Israel and started to help wherever I could, especially the city of Ariel in what the world calls the West Bank, which is really biblical Judea and Samaria, and then also helping after I formed the ministry, Praise and Ministries, in 2001, God had us lobby the U.S. government to pressure Ariel Sharon, who was prime minister in Israel at the time, not to pull the Jews out of Gaza. And I had been to Gaza with Billy in 2004, and before the Jews were pulled out that next year, and had been working to keep them in their homes. And unfortunately, Ariel Sharon made his decision. But, you know, God wasn't surprised. God knew it was going to happen, and he's got a plan. So anyway, it's one of those things that I thought I was going to be an actress, singer, dancer, and on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and the next thing I knew, I was a born-again Christian and going to Israel and forming a ministry. So, although my ministry is an events-oriented ministry, we have a free youth center, we produce preaching and teaching events, we produce Christian concerts. So, in a sense, I'm still in show business, but I'm doing it for the Lord.
Amen, and you're doing it beautifully. Victoria, you are also an outspoken conservative, yet the Hearst family, your family, seems to be glaringly left on so many issues. Case in point, Cosmopolitan magazine. Can you elaborate? And what would W.R. think if he saw and read what is going on today?
Well, my grandfather would be horrified. We've got a slew of magazines that we publish. I don't work for the corporation. I have no power in it. I'm not on the board. I'm not a trustee. Nothing I say as far as they're concerned, nothing I say or do matters as far as the people who are in power, both family members and non-family members. But Cosmopolitan was, I believe, the first magazine that WR bought. It was actually first published around 1896, and it was a women's magazine and a family magazine. And then around 1904, somewhere around there, 1905, Grandpa bought it, and he kept it as a family magazine, a women's magazine, a literary magazine. And as it went through the decades into the 60s, it was, again, fashion, beauty, social magazine. Well, around 1965, it was starting to go downhill, and the company didn't want to stop publishing it. And they were faced with the decision of, do we stop publishing the magazine or do we inject new blood into this and try and find a new direction? And unfortunately, for those of you who recall a woman named Helen Gurley Brown, Helen Gurley Brown had written a book called Sex and the Single Girl. And she was the talk show host darling, and she was the feminist, and the, you know, her also big focus was sex. Sex, 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 sex. Women should have sex, and they should be basically the same kind of sexual predator that the man is, and we're going to show that we can be like that too, and isn't this wonderful? Sexual revolution. So the company, unfortunately, turns Helen and hires her to save Cosmopolitan magazine, and Helen basically says, okay, if I'm made editor-in-chief of this magazine, I'm going to make it over in my image and likeness, which she did. She took a wonderful social fashion family magazine and turned it into a sex rag. And since 1965, it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, more explicit, more descriptive. It's turned truly into the dictionary definition of pornography.
Victoria, we're almost out of time here, and you've answered some of my basic questions here. You are an events-oriented ministry reaching out to youth, the Nation of Israel, the U.S., and your community through Ridgeway Christian Center and Praise Productions Christian Store, located in beautiful Colorado. The name of your ministry, PraiseHimMinistries.org. You're a glorious witness for Jesus Christ, born again, spirit-filled. You know about spiritual warfare, and you're fighting the good fight of faith. Last question. Have you ever thought of publishing your own, quote, rag, Victoria? And if you did, what would it be comprised of?
No, is actually the simple answer. I will have my own editorials occasionally. We put out a quarterly newsletter. It also shows up on the website. And when I feel moved by the Holy Ghost, I will write an editorial speaking out about various things. In the fall newsletter, I told people vote Republican and told them exactly what Obama and the Democrats were like and what they were pushing and what God says. But I think what we need to do as Christians is we need to wake up. We need to be informed. We need to listen to programs like yours. An hour a day of Fox News, I highly recommend. There are some great, wonderful conservative websites that will give you news stories from all around the world. You'll stay informed. But like with the magazine, with Cosmopolitan Magazine, God gave me the mission to get that magazine labeled as adult material and make sure it's not sold to minors. Because right now, for those of you who ever go into grocery stores, that thing is sitting right in your face at the checkout counter. You know, it really is vile. It promotes an extremely vile, ungodly, dangerous lifestyle. It glorifies sex. It mocks Christianity. It mocks anyone who's pro-life. It just is disgusting.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Victoria Hurst, granddaughter of media publishing magnate William Randolph Hurst. Her ministry, PraiseHimMinistries.org, is reaching youth, adult, around the globe, the U.S., Israel, and in particular Japan, through Operation Blessing. You can learn more about Victoria's ministry by going to www.PraiseHimMinistries.org. Volunteer and learn what you can do to help bring value to the media on platform, in print, in television, wherever the gospel can be preached. And that is what Victoria is doing today. Victoria, thank you for your life, for your work, for your ministry, and for sharing your story with us today. A real encouragement and hope on every level. God bless you.
Oh, well, you're very kind. Thank you, Janine.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.